Well, good evening, church. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my home office. And just to make sure that you're aware of what's going on, we are meeting now on Sunday mornings at the church at 10 o'clock. All of our home fellowships will be there. And we are continuing our study in the Gospel of Matthew. But on Wednesday nights, we're doing the book of Ephesians, the Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. So tonight we're going to be talking about wisdom. And our text is chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. So if you have your Bible, why don't you get that out? And as you do, I want to remind you why we do what we do. The Bible says that we should study to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. That is our vision and our motivation for doing what we're about to do, right? Study. So that we can learn how to rightly divide, right? How much trouble do we get in when we don't know how to rightly interpret God's word? Big trouble, especially with topics like we have tonight. So tonight we're going to be talking about wisdom. And Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver? The Bible, it continues everywhere, almost in every piece of work in the scripture has something to say about wisdom and its value above all things, especially Proverbs talks a lot about it, but there are different kinds of wisdom. So 1 Corinthians, you know, it talks about in chapter 3, verse 19, the wisdom of the world, right, is foolishness in God's sight. And in verse 20, it says, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. And so there's obviously a difference between godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. And godly wisdom is, of course, from God and honors God. And godly wisdom starts with the fear of God and results in your life being centered around Christ. Worldly wisdom, on the other hand, is not concerned with honoring God at all, but it's pretty much to please oneself. So tonight our text is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 23. It says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that God, that the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people, his holy people, excuse me, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That is, the power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, in every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So, a couple of observations tonight. There are three things, primary things, that he's talking about here in this particular portion of scripture. And the first one is to know the hope of his calling. So it starts with, he says, I've heard about your faith or our faith, right? And that's what faith does. When we act in faith, it is not only on display for God to see, it's on display for his people to see. And that leads to, whenever we walk in faith, a love for his people. So those go hand in hand. He says, I've heard about your faith, and I've heard about the fact that you're loving people. And Paul was praying for them to have this spiritual discernment or in spiritual enlightenment in the form of the spirit of wisdom, right? Now, in the form of spiritual revelation, there's two things going on here. There's the spirit of revelation or spirit of knowledge and the spirit of wisdom, right? And all of this is for the purpose of knowing him better, right? All of this wisdom that God wants to give us, all of this revelation that God wants to give us, is not to figure out our life, it's to know him better. The implication is, if you know him better, you're going to figure out your life, but you're never going to figure out your life unless you know him better. So the second thing that is mentioned in this particular passage is to know the riches of the glory of his inheritance, right? So God is wealthy, and he's extremely wealthy in ways that we cannot comprehend. And this inheritance was one of the spiritual blessings listed in our previous study. And the riches is in our resting in our future hope, right? That's where the richness truly comes from. So to know the riches of his glorious inheritance, to understand that is when we rest in the fact that we have this inheritance from God. It is not spoiled. It is not ruined, like we learned last week. It is not affected by anything. It can't be taken away. It's guaranteed for us because the Holy Spirit has sealed us with His power, right? So the third thing that he brings up here is to know the exceeding greatness of His power toward us. And what about that power? Well, he lists things, specific things here, quite a few things. First of all, it's incomparable. God's power is not comparable to anything known to man. We can't say, yes, God's power is like. We can't, because there's nothing to compare it with. His mighty power raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's how powerful it is. His mighty power formed Jesus in the womb. This power that we're talking about, the application of his power is through the Holy Spirit, right? So it's so powerful, this you know, the power that God has. It set Jesus at the right hand of God with unlimited authority, right? Unlimited authority. And a name given to Jesus that is above all names, a name that is eternal, forever. And all of this authority, all of this power, all of this name above all names, and all of this, you know, the fact that you can't compare, what is all that for? It's for him being the head of the church. It's for him being the fullness of himself. It's for him to understand that the church is his body, right? All of that power is essentially for the church, which he is the head of, which is the fullness of himself, and which is his body. So, what does all this mean? Well, there's a difference, right, between wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge, they're reoccurring themes in the scripture, and they are related, but they're not exactly the same, right? So, the dictionary defines wisdom as the ability to discern or judge what is true and right or lasting. Knowledge, on the other hand, is information that is gained through experience, reasoning, or acquaintance. So, knowledge can exist without wisdom, but not the other way around. Let me say that again. Knowledge can exist without wisdom. I can have the knowledge of something, but not have the wisdom in terms of how to use it, but not the other way around, right? So one can have knowledge without being wise. Knowledge is knowing how to use a gun, right? I know how to use a gun. I know I own a weapon. I went to the class. I know how to load it. I know how to unload it. I know how to somewhat clean it. I know how to handle a weapon, and the weapons that I like to use are the ones that are the easiest, right? Because I never want to use a complicated weapon in an emergency situation. I have a knowledge of how to use a gun. Wisdom is knowing when to use it and when to keep it holstered. That is the difference. Knowledge is knowing how to use a gun. Wisdom is knowing when to use it and when to keep it holstered. So, wisdom and knowledge, number two. This is the wisdom and knowledge that we need to seek. The wisdom that God wants us to seek is to have knowledge of Him and what He expects of us. And that is wisdom that comes through reading God's Word, right? Nobody can read God's Word for you. You have to read it yourself. You have to study it. You have to interpret it. Like we started this lesson this evening, it's, you know, you study to show yourself approved, a workman. You are a singular workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who knows how to rightly divide the word of truth, in order that we may obey him, that we may have knowledge of his commands, right? That's the reason for reading God's word. It's not a history book. It's a life book. It teaches us how to interact with God. It teaches us how to relate to God. But as equally important as having knowledge is having wisdom. Knowing the facts about God and the Bible is not all there is to wisdom, right? You can know all the facts about... I see this when I went to Bible college. I saw people that had a vast knowledge of God's Word, but no practical application. In other words, what does it gain a man if he knows everything about God, but does not allow God to control his life? If he can't control his tongue, if he can't stop from sinning, but he knows all the scriptures that talk about it, but just hasn't applied them. Wisdom is a gift from God. James 1:5 states, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. God blesses us with wisdom in order for us to glorify him and use the knowledge we have of him. In other words, God's wisdom that he gives us, guys, is not just for show. It's practical application. It's practical for your life, no matter what, right? We spend our time getting knowledge. I can read all about what it is to be a parent, but I need God's wisdom to be an effective parent. So let's talk a little bit about the word definition of wisdom. What is the scripture's definition of wisdom? Well, the book of Proverbs is perhaps the best place to start, like I told you before, with respect to biblical wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 speaks of both biblical knowledge and wisdom. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is to start on the path to knowledge, and God can begin to provide us with wisdom through Christ, who the Bible says is wisdom himself. It is because of him that you are in Jesus Christ, who has become wisdom for us from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. That's out of 1 Corinthians 1:30. It's so important, guys, to understand that we have this biblical foundation of wisdom for an application that God wants us to use. God's wisdom is not difficult. It's not hard to understand. It's not hard to get. It's easy to get. It's easy to use, but it takes faith. It takes faith. We're going to learn that a little bit down the road here in our study tonight. So let's talk about number four, the practice of wisdom and knowledge. What is the practice? Knowledge is what is gathered over time through the study of scriptures, right? And I know that there is a lot of people. I knew a lot of scriptures before I knew what they meant. I knew how to say them. I knew how to quote them. I could tell you where they were, but I didn't really know what they meant until I was able to get wisdom from God and apply that to my life. And it may be different for you, right? It can be said that wisdom, in turn, acts properly upon that knowledge. We get the knowledge. God turns that knowledge into wisdom. Wisdom is the fitting application of knowledge. Knowledge understands that the light is red, right? You're driving your car, you see a red light. Knowledge says, hey, the light is red. Wisdom applies the brakes. Knowledge sees the quicksand. Wisdom walks around it. These are very practical applications here. Knowledge memorizes the Ten Commandments. Wisdom obeys them. Knowledge learns of God. Wisdom loves God. Do you see the difference? Knowledge, all the things connected with knowledge, I don't want to downplay and say that they're bad, because, you know, we need to know what a red light is. We need to know the danger of quicksand. We need to know the importance of the Ten Commandments. We need to know the lessons of God. But if we don't apply the brakes to the red light, if we walk into quicksand, then we don't have the wisdom. If we know the Ten Commandments, and this is the convicting, I'm thinking for all of us, but we don't obey them, then what's the use? If you know the Sermon on the Mount, but you don't obey it, what's the use? If you know, like everybody, the Our Father prayer, but you don't put it into practice, what is the use? You don't have any wisdom behind it. Knowledge learns of God, and wisdom loves God. What's the use of having a knowledge of God if you don't fall in love with him because of that knowledge? So, some application this evening. First of all, wisdom, we need to pray for it and request it regularly. And I can't overstate that enough. We need wisdom, and the vehicle to get wisdom is prayer. That's what Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus. That's what James says in his word, that you need to ask, right? Scripture tells us that we need to ask for godly wisdom. If any man of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. God wants us to have his wisdom, and he's delighted to give it when we set our hearts to receive it. The behavior that blocks wisdom is lack of faith, which is my second point, right? There is a behavior that you and I can get engaged in that is going to keep us from wisdom, and that's a terrible thing, right? But it's having a lack of faith. Guys, I look across at what I see in this nation, and I see a people that are gripped by fear, right? They're not walking in faith, they're walking in fear. You can't walk in fear and faith at the same time. You can walk in faith with caution, but if you're walking in fear, you're in fear and you're not operating in faith. You say, Greg, that's just an overstatement. No, it isn't. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. We are to walk by faith and be careful. We are to walk by faith and have boundaries. We are never, ever allowed to walk in fear. James says he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought to not expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. How much more clear can that be made for us, right? If you want to behave in a way that lacks faith, then you're going to be like a wave of the sea tossed to and fro. And you can expect nothing from God. Why? Because you're double-minded. When we walk like that, we are double-minded. We have a mind that wants to please God and a mind that wants to please ourselves. We have a mind that wants to step out in faith, but we are nonetheless fearful. Okay? And I think that that's a problem. I just do. I think God wants us to walk in faith and have a behavior that honors God through wisdom. I'm not suggesting at all, and I think some of you might think that I'm one of those people that this pandemic is nothing. It's a big, you know, guys, it is any infectious disease like that is an issue, whether it's the flu, whether it's pneumonia, whether it's no matter what. I've had all of those things. If I've had the flu, I've had pneumonia, then I'm really not afraid of getting COVID-19, right? I understand. Wisdom tells me that it's another respiratory disease. I've had them before. I can go through this again, right? Now, I remember before I had cancer, I was very, very fearful before when I got cancer. And I understand that. That's why I have a lot of compassion for people right now that are fearing getting the COVID virus. But having had cancer, I don't fear it anymore. But yeah, I'd be concerned, but I've already gone through it, and I understand the path, the journey, right? I'm not fearing COVID because I've already had pneumonia, which, in my opinion, is far worse than COVID-19, right? When you get pneumonia, you have it. Doesn't matter whether you're 5, 55, or 105. It is terrible, and I would never want it again. But, you know, wisdom sees that. Wisdom understands that through knowledge, which is experience, and really God coming along and speaking truth into our life. God knows the position of our hearts, and when we are committed to trusting Him and obeying His word, He pours out His wisdom on us. But if we want to retain the right to disobey and be double-minded, we're not going to receive anything from Him. Nothing. You say, well, Greg, you know, I feel like you're judging me because I'm fearful about a lot of things. Yeah, you know, we keep coming back to this almost every week. And the reason why we keep coming back to it is because God does not want you to walk in fear. He wants you to walk in freedom and wisdom. And when you have wisdom, you still put on a helmet. When you have wisdom, you still take precautionary measures. When you have wisdom, you do the difficult thing that the Word says, not the easy thing that you want to do. Guys, Paul prayed this prayer over the church of Ephesians, not to fix their problem. He prayed this prayer that they might have wisdom and revelation and understanding and knowledge, because he wanted their walk to be right with him. If their walk was right with him, then everything in their life would be right. And I can't stress that enough. I'm not talking about you going to God saying, I need wisdom to do A or B. No, you need wisdom to know God, and he'll teach you and show you whether A is good or B is good. That's how it works. That's how it works. If you have wisdom and you're operating by faith, you're going to God regularly in prayer, and you're not only speaking to him, but he is speaking to you, right? Wisdom listens to God, not just shouts orders at him. And we know that because the word teaches us that. So tonight, I pray that you would have this wisdom, that you would have the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation and understanding, that you would take the knowledge that you have and that God would turn it into wisdom that only he can give, and he gives liberally. So if you've never had that kind of wisdom and you say, boy, Pastor, I sure would like it, all you got to do is trust Jesus Christ for salvation, and you get that and so much more. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. And when you are saved, you receive the sealing of the Holy Spirit that we talked about last week, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. You are in right standing with God, made righteous. And that's a beautiful thing. And all you need to do is confess and believe. And if you've made that your prayer, Our phone number is on the website that you are on right now. Find it and give us a call and let us know about the decision that you made to follow Jesus, and we will rejoice with you. If you listen regularly, you know what I'm about to tell you. He has shown you, man, woman, Greg, who's listening now, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. That you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. That is wisdom. That is practical wisdom. Do it. Do it, do it. In Jesus' name. God bless you guys.